Good morning and welcome. I am Andrew Palmieri. I'm a member here. We hope you feel the presence of God here in this place. We especially welcome newcomers. This is a brochure about the mission and ministry of this congregation. We hope the welcome team will give you one. Or pick one up on the table at the back of the sanctuary. In your bulletin, you will find a yellow slip like this. Please fill out your name, and we appreciate having your contact information. Drop it in the offering place. And on the other side is a prayer request. If you fill that side out, then give it to the ushers when they walk through the aisles before prayer time, and it will be read. We have restrooms and childcare through this door. Motion to... After the service, you can join us for a conversation in the gathering room behind me after the service. Go out either door. Here are some upcoming opportunities to put your faith into action and help build friendship, fellowship, and community. If you're a musician, you can share your gifts in worship. We have a handbell choir, and it is always welcomes newcomers. It has practice tomorrow night, Monday, here at 7. As part of our outreach on Friday morning, here medical staff will be here to give flu shots if you need one. Next week, when you come in, the altar table will be filled with various pictures, remembrances, fabrics, and art from around the world. It is our observance of World Communion Sunday. Please bring something that represents a country near important to you. Our stewardship campaign and next worship series begin next week. This video is a sneak peek. Thank you.
Looking forward to next week. It's got to be great. Welcome, everyone. I am Pastor Alicia Wood. I am honored to be the pastor here at this church because of all you beautiful people inside the church and outside the church. And I realize that on Sunday mornings in the month of August, almost any month, we feed over 250 people breakfast. Isn't that wonderful? Between our big breakfast and our bagel breakfast. I'm really honored to be a part of this ministry. And you know what? Following Jesus is really hard, isn't it? We've been talking about this rocky road, this rocky mountain we are to climb in following Jesus because it's really hard. In our scripture today, Jesus describes a beggar sitting outside a home of a wealthy man looking for a scrap of food and a little compassion. Jesus described in Matthew 25 Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't do anything to help you? And then he will answer, I assure you, when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me. Seeing Jesus in our neighbors is job one. Will you please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing All the Colors of the Rainbow? This is a new hymn, but it is a very familiar tune. Please remain standing for the call to worship. Praise God with your whole being. Don't trust the plans of humanity. Only God's expansive love is eternal. We praise the Creator, the God of our ancestors, the one who straightens the bend, who loves the hungry and the poor. We are here to praise our God who protects the immigrant, who helps the orphan and the widow. Praise the Creator whose love flows from generation to generation until all is that God dreams it can be. So look around. Let's take a little time to connect with our neighbors, saying, "Peace be with you." Will the children please come forward and join me as they are comfortable? Good morning, everyone. How are you? I have a question for you. Oh, good. I'm glad that's up there. I have a question for you because sometimes people annoy me. Does anyone ever get annoyed by people? Yes? Okay. Maybe your brothers or your sisters. Maybe. I see a few big smiles. What about you guys over there? Do you ever get annoyed with folks? Yeah, there. With people? Well, you know, we're going to be talking today about how we need to be kind to one another. And sometimes that's really hard because sometimes people aren't kind to us, right? But our job is to be kind anyway. So even when your brothers and sisters might be annoying you, just like my brother sometimes annoys me, we are to be kind to one another. And today is a really special day, isn't it, for your family, huh? So will you pray with me? We're going to pray about working really hard to listen to God's call to be kind to one another. Let's pray. Loving God, we are just so grateful that you have given us this call to be kind to one another. It's really hard. It's really hard to follow Jesus' words of being kind to one another. Please give us the gifts and the resources and the compassion and the patience to be kind to one another. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am super excited because today we have a baptism, right? And so I'm wondering, anyone who's going to come forward for the baptism, let's come on up here. And children, if you would like, not you children, I don't know where your family told you all to sit, stand, sit, but all children can sit in front of the communion rail if they'd like to watch the baptism. You can sit there too, Jim, if you want. So give us a moment. We're going to get set up. We're really excited. Whoop. Today is such a special day because I remember going to Faraha's baby shower. It was wonderful and beautiful, and I just remember, so this is for me so beautiful because I've seen our baby from inside mom until today. So how lovely, so special. All right, so let's see what we have here. Dear friends and siblings in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. So I ask on behalf of the whole church, this is for all of you up here. Are you ready for this? All right. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
Will you nurture Faraha in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? I will? Okay. All right, and so, all of you, this is your job now, right? This is part of why we're here. This is your answer. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, affirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include all these persons now before you into your care?
With God's help,
Did you get all that? This congregation is here for all of you to be Christ's body, to love you, support you, live with you, and grow together in faith. So we're in this together, right? Yeah, we're in it together. So the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your peoples as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations, declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and to clothe her in righteousness through her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit and reigns forever. Amen. Okay. Hey, sweetie, you ready? You came to me before. I've held you before. Here. Let's go this way. Can I go this way a little bit more? You ready? We're going to baptize you. Oh, okay. So you can hold her, Mom. We don't want anybody to cry. Faraha, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Okay, so I would like to have us lay hands on our new member here. And if you can't reach her, then on the shoulder on a friend. Yes. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, it is our joy to welcome the newly baptized. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Let us welcome our newest member of our family. I don't know who's going to walk Faraha around, but someone will walk her so everyone can see her. Okay, great. And as she walks around, we're going to sing one or two verses, depending on how long this is, an old new tradition. We're going to sing Child of Blessing. So, you okay? Amen. Jesus foreshadows his own resurrection in today's reading from Luke when he suggests that even if someone were to come back from the dead and warn them, people would still cling to their possessions. Who do you identify within this? Who do you identify with within this scripture? I'm reading Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a certain rich man who clothed himself in purple and fine linen and who feasted luxuriously every day. At his gate lay a certain poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. Lazarus longed to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Instead, dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. While being tormented in the place of the dead, he looked up and saw Abraham at a distance with Lazarus at his side. He shouted, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm suffering in this flame." But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, whereas Lazarus received terrible things. Now Lazarus is being comforted, and you are in great pain. Moreover, a great crevice has been fixed between us and you. Those who wish to cross over from here to you cannot. Neither can anyone cross from there to us." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. He needs to warn them so that they don't come to this place of agony." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They must listen to them." The rich man said, "No, Father Abraham. But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will change their hearts and lives." Abraham said, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We can choose to see the poor, the immigrant, the outsider, the broken. We can choose to be God's goodness in the world. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing, "You Are the Seed." If you'd like to sing this in Spanish, please turn to your hymnal. It is on page 583. Amen. Please be seated. So, I came up here because I wanted to share with you a little from my heart. Many of you know, probably just by me talking about it, but also from just how I've been in the last year, that in March of 2018, I got some really disappointing news. When the Board of Ordained Ministry, BOOM, affectionately known, said to me, "Not yet." It was really devastating for me. I wasn't at all expecting this. And I realized it took me maybe a month or two to even get it in my brain that that had happened. And then after that, it took me probably 9 to 12 months to kind of reflect and come back to whoever or whatever I am. And in that time, there was a lot of soul searching. And then, of course, in February of 2019, the special general session brought forth a vote that, in which hurt my heart. And so I'm coming to you today to let you know that I've kind of been on a rocky road and that I've been doing a lot of praying and reflecting. And I feel like I'm finally back. So I want you to know that I might have been a little off for the last year or so, but I'm feeling like I'm back, and I'm ready for whatever's next, and I'm ready to be with you in whatever that means. So I thought that I would share with you. Thank you. I thought I'd share this with you because I wanted you to know my heart, but I also wanted you all to know that everyone goes through hard times. Everyone. And that if you're in a hard time right now, or you've just come out of a hard time, or you know you're going into a hard time, God is with you, and so are all of us. So, and I'm grateful for all those around me here and who aren't here have been praying for me. So. All right, so now I get to talk about the scripture. How exciting. So this scripture, and many parables, are beautiful and compelling, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in the story or the details of the story, we might miss the bottom line. And so I figured I'd start with the bottom line today, and then we talk about why it's the bottom line, given what we learn in the parable. So here's the bottom line. We are to be kind to one another. That's the bottom line. So how did we get there? Well, before I get into the scripture, I want to share a story with you of my travels this week. You might have seen me on Facebook this week. I went to Kansas City for a convention, an event called the Leadership Institute. And at the Leadership Institute in Kansas City, we talked about the potential and our preferred version of the United Methodist Church. It was an excellent, exciting trip. Ted Finlayson Schuler and I went together. We had, like, no problems. Like, the airplanes were great. The driving, the rental car was great. We got an Airbnb. It was great. Everything was just so easy, great, wonderful, super easy time. I mean, the topic was a heavy topic, but our traveling was so easy, and you know how that can really get under your skin if it doesn't go well, right? So we get to the airport as we're flying out at our connecting flight, and a woman starts talking to me. Yes, people just talk to me all the time. And she said, "Well, I missed my last flight, so now I have to get on this flight to Syracuse, and when I get to Syracuse, I have to drive to Rochester, because even though I was standing there looking at the plane, they wouldn't, at the plane to Rochester that she missed, I was looking at the plane and saying, 'Just open the door, let me in,' and they said, 'No, we closed it, can't do it, gotta find another flight.'" So this was her reality. So she said, "I went to the bar, had a few drinks, and now I'm getting on the plane to Syracuse." And so she said, "But that doesn't even top it off, because what really made me nervous was earlier in the week, I got a rental car, and as I'm driving down the highway at 75 miles per hour, it's faster there, I like it, it's really, I like the fast speed limit, I got a flat tire." And she said,
I didn't know what to do. I went over to the side of the road, but I'm in a whole other state. I don't know anything about this state. If I was in near Rochester or in New York, I'd kind of know the rules. And she was like, it was just that flat tire thing really upset her. And then they came to get her, you know, the rental car company came to get her. And then they said, okay, that'll be like $125 or something like that. And she was like, what? So her whole trip was like just horrible, right? I think that her business part of it went well, but all this travel stuff was just not going her way. Anyway, I got in line, Ted and I got in line to stand, you know, to get on the plane, and we look over, and this woman who had just had this horrible week of all these delays and chaos and not knowing what to do and hoping it's going to be okay, she's helping a little old lady onto the plane because there wasn't enough staff there from Delta to help her. And this woman needed assistance. The elderly woman needed assistance. And this woman, even with all that stuff that went wrong, she helped this little old lady get on the plane. We just need to be kind to one another. That's all. As I shared, it's not always easy, but that's our job. So the theology of the time from this scripture was that things were going to get turned upside down in heaven. Oh, I forgot my images. I got so excited. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's found in three different gospels. It's found in Luke, in Matthew, and in Mark. Things were going to get turned upside down, and the last would be first. It brought comfort to those who were last. And we can't even imagine what last felt like in Bible times. So in our scripture today, we learn that the poor man is named Lazarus, but the rich man is never named. We don't know his name at all. He's just referred to as the rich man. And we learn Lazarus lived a miserable life. He lived hungry and with sores. But worst of all, it seems he was all alone and no one cared about him. He was there or present at the gate, but no one even saw him. It seems feeling seen and heard is a large part of self-worth. Did you see Galen's article in our newsletter last month? This is how to respond to panhandlers. And it's basically this: be kind, smile, wave, so that they feel seen. So back to our scripture. Both men die and find themselves in unpredicted circumstances. The rich man, even though he is now in the lowest of low, still thinks he can order people around, including Abraham. And he tells Abraham to tell Lazarus to serve him. The rich man does not get what he desires this time. Even though the rich man never acknowledged Lazarus in life, in the afterlife he calls Lazarus by name. The rich man also seemed to know Hebrew scripture because he recognized and called Abraham by name too. The rich man knew of Hebrew scripture, but he did not follow it. If he had followed scripture, he would not have ignored or taken a blind eye to Lazarus. Surely Lazarus could have received the scraps from the extravagant meals of the rich man, if nothing else. At least he would have been noticed or seen and given mercy. So Abraham's answer was no. No, rich man. You have had a good life, but you did not share. You did not care about your neighbor. Our parable foreshadows Jesus' resurrection as well. The rich man thinks if Lazarus rises from the dead and visits his brothers, that will change their way. Surely people will listen to the morals of a dead man who has risen from the dead. Abraham's answer is classic. If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, who have moral and scriptural authority, why would they listen to a lowly dead man who has risen from the dead? Well, in Matthew 25, Jesus is Lazarus in the parable. He puts himself in the lowly position and is hungry and sick and naked. And Jesus said, "When did you do it for the least of these? You did it for me." So I wonder, who is the Lazarus of our time? Who is suffering? Who are we ignoring that are suffering? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, good answers. Who else? Since Elise started it, who else? Panhandler? Homeless? Kids. Even though it's challenging, we must show kindness when it comes to inclusion and diversity. I'm glad you said that, Stark. So at this conference, it was brought to our attention, my attention, that there have been 19 murders of trans people in the last few years. And one was just last week in Kansas City. And so the presenter of the Leadership Institute said, we would like to get together and pray. Pray for trans people, pray for their safety, pray that they might feel safe, pray that people might come to know peace with trans people and not have hate. And so we had like a pop-up prayer time, and it was outside in one spot. And I got there, and the circle kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so this pop-up prayer for trans people and peace on earth and peace among our friends probably ended up having about 200 people. I mean, it was just beautiful. And it was such an important thing to know. I didn't know this was happening. And it was such an important thing to pray about. So through this parable and so many others, Jesus is calling us to be kind to one another. Not because it will get us the best life or because it's the kind and but because it's the kind and right thing to do when we love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to God's justice, not the world's justice. We pray about every week, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The justice that includes all people suffering or broken, not just the people we know, the people we don't know. The justice that calls us to not be blind to suffering in our world or in our neighborhood, but to be continuously kind. So I will close with the words of Mr. Rogers. There are three ways to ultimate success. The first way is to be kind. The second way is to be kind. And the third way is to be kind. Amen. So as we begin our time of prayer, feel free to be a singer or a listener as we sing My Jesus, I Love You. If you would like your prayer read as a part of our worship today, please hold them up or out, and our ushers will collect them as we sing. Let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence, and then I will offer up a spoken prayer. And finally, we will sing the Lord's Prayer together to a tune written by Mark Miller. This will be the last week that we sing our Lord's Prayer for a while. We'll be singing it. So take a deep breath. Get comfortable in your seat and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. I'm reading one of Walter Brueggemann's prayers today. We pray as often as we meet that we might perfectly love you. Indeed, we have been commanded from the beginning to love you with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds and all our strengths. We have pledged to love, pledged in our prayers and in our baptism, in our confirmation, and with our best resolve. But we confess we love you imperfectly. We love you with a divided heart, with a thousand other loves that are more compelling, with reservation and qualification and passion withheld and devotion impaired. We do not now come to pretend before you, but to confess that we do not, as we are, love you perfectly. We do not keep your commands. We do not order our lives by your purpose. We do not tilt you as our deepest affection. But we would. We would love you more perfectly. By the taste of bread become your flesh. By the swallow of wine become your blood. By the praise of our lips and beyond our usual reasoning. By the commandments that are not burden but joy to us. By embracing your passion for neighbors. By your ways of justice and peace and mercy, by honoring the world you have made and all the creatures, great and small, by self-care that knows you as our creator. Lead us past our shabby compromises and our cheap devotion. Lead us into singleness of vision and purity of heart that we may will one thing and answer back in love to your great love for us. Free of idolatries and our habits, tender our hearts, gentle our lips, open our hands, that we may turn toward you fully, toward your world unguardedly. Let us bask in your freedom to be yours and so trusting fully our own. We pray through the Lord Jesus, who loved you singularly, perfectly, fully to the end. Let us sing or listen together the prayer Jesus taught us. Amen. We come together from across the world, representing different cultures and generations, languages, abilities, and identities. Within our diversity, we are united as a community of strangers, mutually committed to Martin Luther King Jr.'s vision of the beloved community. Our offering is one way we affirm our membership pledge to uphold this church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips into the plate as the ushers collect our offering today. Join me in the prayer of dedication. God sends us out so that grace will not be rare in our time. Jesus calls us to go out so that justice will not be rare in our time. Mm-hmm. The Spirit fills us with compassion so that peace will not be rare in our time. Here we are all, offering hope to those living in fear and working for reconciliation in brokenness. Amen. We are here, God, ready to do the work, and God has plenty of work for us to do. So let us sing together, God has work for us to do. You are the body of Christ. May you have the heart of Christ, tender for mercy. May you have the eyes of Christ to see a world in need. May you have the feet of Christ to bring good news. Go in peace, and God go with you. Amen.